Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
To welcome you to this Let the Bible Speak broadcast. I want to thank you very much for taking the time to tune in and to hear the living Word of God. And may the Lord be pleased to bless you through every aspect of the service today. I want to commence by reading a number of verses from the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 3. In verse 13, we read these words. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan, unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We'll end the reading there at the end of the chapter, and let us bow together in a word of prayer, asking the Lord to bless our time together today. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, I want to thank Thee for Thy precious Word. I thank Thee, Father, that the entrance of Thy Word giveth light. Father, in and of ourselves, we are in darkness. We may know that Thou art the true and the living God. We may know that Thou art holy and just, and that we are sinners worthy of Thine eternal judgment. But yet, Father, in and of ourselves, we are ignorant and in darkness in relation to the salvation that Thou hast given to us in Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I thank Thee for giving us Thy precious word, Thy word that speaks to us of Thy beloved Son, the one who is our Saviour, that word which reveals to us that He is Thine eternal and begotten Son, who loved us so much that He came down into this world and took upon Himself that human nature, lived that perfect life that we would never live and could never live, and then, Father, went to the cross to pay the debt for our sins, so that He, in shedding His precious blood, would satisfy our eternal debt that we owed to Thee, that debt of eternal wrath. And I thank that Jesus Christ rose again the third day, showing openly to all that that debt was fully paid and satisfied, and ascending up into heaven to sit at Thy right side, we thank that His work has been accomplished once and for all. Nothing more needs to be done to obtain salvation, that forgiveness of sins and that perfection before Thee. Jesus Christ has accomplished it. I thank Thee, Father, that now He is applying it, ever praying for us, Lord, that the Spirit of God would open up our eyes, give us light to see the wonder and the truthfulness and the grace of Christ, that as we turn from our sins and turn and put our trust in Christ and love Him who has first loved us, that we will obtain and receive right now and for all eternity His wonderful and incomparable and incomprehensible salvation. Father, bless every aspect of the service today. Lord, may the truth of Thy word bring light. May we see the reality of Christ, that we will not only trust Him but love Him with all we have for all of His love to us. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name, pleading the merits of His precious blood. Glorify the name of Christ. Purify those that are Thine. Draw to salvation those that are lost. And do a work that will last for eternity. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. I want to begin by asking you today, do you ever find yourself puzzled? Do you ever find yourself confused and absolutely perplexed? Perhaps it's in relation to a situation in the workplace, or maybe it's a situation in the home, and you just cannot understand what is happening. As you and I come into Matthew's Gospel in the chapter 3, we have one of God's greatest servants, John the Baptist, and we find him to be puzzled, to be confused, and absolutely perplexed. If you look with me at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, in the verse 13, we read these words, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him." That is, John said no. He was hesitant. He was refusing to baptize Christ. And the reason why he said this was, in verse 14, he declared to Christ, "I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" The word for forbade here in verse 14 is actually in the continual tense. It's the idea that as Christ came to John, John kept saying, but no, Lord, I don't understand, Lord. Why would I be baptizing you?" In fact, whenever you look at the original Greek, you will find that many of the pronouns in this verse are actually repeated. For example, it could literally read, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me." Why was it that John the Baptist was puzzled at Christ coming to be baptized? Why was John the Baptist perplexed? Well, let me point out two things to you. The first is this: John the Baptist knew who Jesus Christ was. In John's Gospel, chapter 1, the verse 29, John the Baptist is speaking regarding Jesus Christ, and he declares that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. John the Baptist knew that Jesus Christ had been sent by God, and being that the climax, the fulfillment of the Old Testament Lamb, that Jesus Christ was sinless. He was without blemish. He was absolutely perfect. In verse 30 of John chapter 1, John the Baptist also declares that
while John the Baptist himself was born before Christ biologically, John the Baptist knew that Jesus Christ existed before John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is aware that Jesus Christ is sinless. He is that Lamb of God, that one who is spotless without blemish before God. He also knows that Jesus Christ is one who is eternal, pre-existent, even before he was biologically born through the Virgin Mary. See, John the Baptist knows that Jesus Christ is God, who became man. And as a result, John the Baptist knows, secondly, that Jesus Christ does not need to repent. You may say, what's all this got to do with baptism? Well, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John the Baptist is speaking to the congregation in front of him. And he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 3, we read that John's baptism was, quote, the baptism of repentance. Now, while John applied water to those who came to him, of course, the water didn't do anything. It didn't change them in any way. But the purpose of the baptism was an outward illustration of their inward repentance. It was a symbol of the people turning from sin unto God. And so therefore you can surely begin to appreciate the confusion that John the Baptist had. Why would he baptize Jesus Christ? Why would he baptize God the Son? Why would he baptize the one who is perfect and without sin? Because Jesus Christ needed not to repent from sin. So why would John baptize him? That's why John actually said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. Men, women, and young people today, I want to look at this question which puzzled one of God's greatest servants, John the Baptist. And that question is simply this: why was Jesus Christ baptized? Have you ever thought about that? Why was Jesus Christ baptized? I want to leave with you just three simple answers. And I trust that the Lord will take these truths and will write them upon your heart, encouraging us and strengthening us in the wonder and beauty of the gospel itself. The first reason why Jesus Christ was baptized is this: Jesus Christ was baptized to show his distinction from sinners. So come with me back 2,000 years ago to the scene at the edge of the River Jordan. And there we have John the Baptist. He's baptizing people who are coming to him. And you imagine, first in line we have a thief. Then second in line we have a drunkard. Then in the third in line we have a liar. Then fourth we have a bully. And going on and on, person after person, we have an adulterer, a wife beater, an idol worshipper, a torturer, a murderer, a blasphemer, a rapist, an abuser of children, a terrorist, and many, many more. Person after person, sinner after sinner, rebel after rebel before God, coming to be baptized. And Jesus Christ was in the middle of this line. Jesus Christ was in the midst of these awful sinners. And from the outward appearance, Jesus Christ didn't look any different. He didn't have a halo about his head. He wasn't glowing. Jesus Christ just looked like everybody else. But yet, Jesus Christ, now at the age of 30, about to commence his public ministry, he's going to be distinguished from all other people by his baptism. You may say, well, how so? Will you look with me, please, at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, in the verse 16. We read, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he, that is John the Baptist, saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, that is Christ. And lo, behold, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The baptism of Christ was unlike the baptism of the murderer, the thief, the rapist, the abuser of children, the drunkard, and the liar. The baptism of Christ was different from everybody else. And this difference distinguished him from every other person that has ever existed. Observe with me just three things. First of all, Christ is distinguished by that which is notable. As soon as Jesus Christ was baptized, we read that he went straightway out of the water, and lo, behold, the heavens were opened. That word for opened in the Greek is the word skidzo, and it simply means to rent into. In fact, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 51, we read about rocks being rent into. In John chapter 21, we read about a fisherman's net being rent in two because there's too many fish and it just tears apart in two. And also in the gospel records, we will find about a veil in the temple, an 18-foot curtain that was about the thickness of a hand's breadth. And there it was rent in two. And I want there for you to understand that what is happening here, that as Jesus Christ is baptized, what we see is not just, as it were, a little peak in the heavens. What we have here, if you can imagine it, 2,000 years ago, Christ coming up out of the river Jordan after being baptized, and as he does so, the heavens rent in two. As far as the east is from the west, and what you can see in the horizon, the heavens are rent in two. And there you can see right into the third heaven. You can see right into the very presence of God the Father. You can see right into where the Shekinah glory of the Father is revealed. You can see where the holy angels are. You can see where all the spirits of just men are made perfect are. You see right into heaven. The heaven is rent in two. That never happened for anybody else. That only happened for Christ. You see, Christ here is distinguished by his baptism, by that which is notable, but notice also, secondly, by that which is visible. Because we read in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, that not merely were the heavens opened, but we read that John the Baptist saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Christ. You may say, what's significant about that? Well, in Isaiah chapter 11, in the verses 1 and 2, we read a prophecy regarding the Messiah, and the prophecy is this: "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Shall rest upon him. Shall come down upon him and remain there and stay there. And no matter where he goes, the Spirit is. You see, that's unlike the apostles or any disciples being infilled with the Spirit of God. Because we need to keep being infilled. But John in John chapter 3 will tell us that Christ received the Spirit without measure. The Spirit of God rested upon him. You see, Christ is distinguished from everybody else. One other thing, Christ is distinguished by his baptism, not merely by that which is notable, the heavens being rent in two, not merely by the Spirit of God descending and resting upon him, but also by that which is audible. Because we find here that in verse 17, "Lo, behold, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This is my Son. This is one who is of the same essence and nature of me, as perfectly like me. This is the one who is my beloved Son. This is the one who is my perfect Son, because in him I am well pleased. He's perfect before me. Without sin, spotless. That was never said of anybody else. Why was it that Jesus Christ was baptized? It was to show that he is different from every other person. Well, outwardly speaking, in his appearance, he may look like everybody else, but he's different. Let me ask you today, do you understand that Jesus Christ is different? He's not like any mere man. He's God who became man to pay the debt for our sins. He's the only Savior. Because a person to pay the debt for our sins, he must not merely be a man to represent us, but he must be God to pay that infinite and eternal debt. Otherwise, it could never be accomplished. Do you understand that Christ is unique? He's the only Savior. There's no salvation outside of him. And yet, do you also see the price that God gave? He did not give silver and gold to redeem us. He did not give the cattle upon a thousand hills to redeem us. He did not give even the army of his holy angels to redeem us. No, God the Father gave us only begotten and much beloved and perfect Son. Do you see God the Father giving Christ for you? You would be saved. God the Son came down to this earth for you. You could be saved. Do you see God the Father's love? Why was Christ baptized? First of all, to show his distinction from sinners, but also secondly, Jesus Christ was baptized to gain perfection for sinners. If you want to look with me at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and the verse 15, after John the Baptist was hesitant, reluctant to baptize Christ, we read in verse 15 that Jesus answered and said unto him, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." All righteousness. The word righteousness simply means to fulfill all that which God has required. To fulfill that which is right according to God's standard. You may tell me, but hold on a minute, preacher. There's no command in the Old Testament for people to be baptized, and that's true. But you see, John the Baptist was sent by God, John chapter 1, verse 33, with a new command, one which is in addition to all the Old Testament commands. And this command was to call all people, all Jews, all Gentiles, to be baptized, to turn from their sin, to prepare the way for the Messiah to come, to prepare their hearts to receive the Messiah as he came. This was a new command in addition to those in the Old Testament. And you see, if Christ is to be our Savior, he is to fulfill all of the commandments of God. In Matthew chapter 5 and the verse 20, if you want to look with me, just over the page in God's Word, Jesus Christ speaks and he declares, "I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." At the end of the chapter, Matthew 5, verse 48, Jesus Christ said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Do you understand today that if we're ever to get into heaven, not merely do we need our sins forgiven, but we need perfection. We need to be perfect in order to get into heaven. You say, "Well, I'm not perfect." You say, "Well, but God's word commands us to repent and to believe the gospel." Well, let me ask, is your repentance perfect? Do you sorrow over sin perfectly? Do you see sin in its horror perfectly? Do you turn from your sin perfectly? Or can you say like me that even though we're repenting and turning from our sin, seeing it as ugly and horrific before God and sorrowing over it and turning from it, but yet it's not perfect? You see, you and I not merely need Christ to have paid the debt for us at Calvary, but we need also him to have lived a perfect life. And while Christ didn't need to repent himself, yet he underwent baptism because it was, as it were, a substitute for us. Because Christ, in being baptized, his baptism of repentance, he was fulfilling all of God's commands and therefore able to apply to us a perfect repentance. You see, the wonderful news today is that no matter how often you and I fall and fail and stumble, and how imperfect you and I may be, we can still be saved. Because Christ not merely shed his blood to pay the debt for our sins at Calvary, but he lived the perfect life, fulfilling every jot and tittle of God's law, even underwent this baptism of repentance, knowing that we needed a perfect repentance. Let me ask you today, what is your trust in to get to glory and to get to heaven? What is your trust in to escape hell? Is it yourself and your works and life, or is it Christ? The fact he shed his blood at Calvary to pay the debt for our sins, but also the fact he lived that perfect life so that rising from the dead, he could apply that perfect life to us and make us perfect in the sight of God the Father. What's your trust? Is it Christ? His perfect life and his full death? And that alone? Or is it something else? It's only if you have your trust in Christ, his perfect life and his perfect death, it's only that way can we be saved. Why was Christ baptized? To show his distinction from sinners. To gain perfection for sinners. But also then lastly, Jesus Christ was baptized to illustrate salvation for sinners. And this is a wonderful thing. Jesus Christ coming to be baptized of John the Baptist, he went to the Jordan River. And he went down the banks of the Jordan River into the river itself. And he stood there before John the Baptist. And Jordan in Scripture speaks of death, such as Hebrews chapter 4. And here we have Christ, the light of the world. And John the Baptist takes, as it were, the rivers of water and pours it over Christ. Death comes upon Christ, as it were. But notice Christ is not overcome by death. Because he leaves the River Jordan. Christ, he walks up the banks. And what do we find? Heaven is opened. You see, Jesus Christ, you see this illustration. He takes upon himself our sin, our lies, our jealousies, our selfishness, all the times we've rebelled against God and not loved him with all our heart. Jesus Christ took upon himself our sin, and going down into the Jordan River, death came upon him. But Christ was not overcome by death. He overcame death. And rising again out of death, out of the Jordan River, we find the heavens were opened. Christ had paid the debt. And in fact, that same word of the heavens is opened, is used in Matthew 27, verses 50 to 51, of the veil in the temple being torn in two. And why was that veil in the temple torn between two? To show us we have access to God now. The heavens are opened, and praise God, they're opened wide to receive all that will come unto God. The Spirit of God then descends upon Christ. And like a dove, the dove is a picture of peace. You see, Christ paying the debt, Christ rising from the dead, heaven's being opened, God's justice being satisfied for our sin. Peace can come. And what else do we find? We find that the Father gives assurance. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let me ask you as I conclude, do you want to be forgiven? Do you want peace with God? You see that Christ has paid the debt for our sins. He's rose again. Heaven is opened because of what Christ has done in his life and his death. And you can have peace by having Christ as your Savior, turning from your sin and putting your trust in him and him alone and all that he's done. And you can have assurance that in Christ, not in you, but in Christ, God the Father is well pleased. And if Christ is your Savior and your substitute, and your payment, and your perfect life, God the Father is well pleased with you. And you'll be received up into glory and walk with Christ in this earth. Do you have Christ as your Savior, your trust in him and him alone? Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, Father, that it points us to Christ in every aspect. The one who was our Savior. The one who took upon himself our sins and paid the debt, but the one who rose again from the dead. And as a result, heaven was opened wide to receive all that put their trust in Christ. And in them, and them alone, God the Father is well pleased because of Christ who covers them. Bless thy word to every heart. Save the lost, Lord. Purify thy people. Let us rejoice that we have Christ as our Savior. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.